Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
All right, he's Q Myers. I'm Joe Fortenbaugh. This is Carlin versus Joe on ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. We're through all that. No foreplay here. There is incredible sound that has come out of this Pat Riley press conference in Miami. We want to get right into it. So to set it up, I pretty much already did. Pat Riley, the president of the Miami Heat, meeting with the media, end of the season press conference, a lot of discussions about Jimmy Butler. I want you to start. What's the context here? Evan, does this, I want to do this right. Does this quote have the question in it, or is it just Riley's response?
No, Riley was just asked about Jimmy Butler trolling the Celtics on social media and saying that if he was healthy, they would have won the series.
Okay, so Jimmy Butler's on social media. If he was healthy, they would have won the series against the Celtics. Pat Riley is asked about that comment, and he says this.
You know, for him to say that, you know, I thought, is that Jimmy trolling or is that Jimmy serious? You know, if you're not on the court playing against Boston or on the court playing against the New York Knicks, you should keep your mouth shut in your criticism of those teams.
Okay.
I love it.
Let it all settle in there, Q.
I love it. I love it.
I love it, too. It's just a matter of which direction we want to go. This is radio gold for us. Is it all over in Miami? Has Heat culture fractured, or am I going too far?
No, you're going too far.
Okay.
You're going too far. It's actually the reason why Miami thrives, is what he just said.
Ooh.
He is that guy, right? He is the guy that's behind Eric Spoelstra, and Spoelstra is a fantastic coach. But with that kind of dynamic and that kind of backbone and that I'll call my star player out if need be, that's the reason why Miami's who they are. When they talk about Heat culture, that's where it starts.
Where do we think the organization is with Jimmy Butler at the current moment? Part of me thinks, and this might be just, again, getting out over the skis a little bit, but the idea of Butler missed a lot of games this year, and he was hurt and he's banged up. I'm not trying to suggest anything other than the fact that sometimes you wonder in the NBA, because we as fans, we have, as media members, we've been conditioned this way. We're conditioned to think, is he as hurt as the injury suggests? Is he taking some extra nights off for load management? Nothing necessarily wrong with that. But how much of this do you think might be Riley insinuating like, yeah, we didn't get enough out of you this year?
Oh, I think it's a lot of it. Okay. I think that's a lot of it. Absolutely. I mean, again, he's going to call out his guy, even if it is Jimmy Buckets, right? Even if it's the best player on the team, he's not exempt. And that's why it works in Miami. Like, we talked about LeBron and all the coaches he's killed. You know who he didn't kill?
Who's that?
Eric Spoelstra.
Well said.
Right? I mean, that's the guy that keeps on going because they have a dynamic. That's the difference between LA, that's the difference between Cleveland, and that's the difference between Miami. They have structure. They believe in what they believe in. That Heat culture thing is real, and that's where it starts. They don't have Laker culture. They don't have Cavalier culture. They have you talking about getting a tattoo on your butt. That's how much culture they don't have.
Not sure that needed to necessarily be brought in the way it was, but it's still a poignant point nonetheless. Butler turns 35 years old in September, okay? There's a lot of talk about what the future holds because he could be in the position where he wants to ask for an extension to stay with Miami this summer. That's kind of how the NBA works now. Get your extension with your current team, and then ultimately once the contract's in place, then you try to force your way out and go somewhere else. You've already got the contract in tow. You see where you end up going. Riley was asked about the future of Butler and whether or not an extension could come this summer. Take a listen.
When Jimmy approaches July 7th for an extension, what will the Miami Heat's response be at that date that his extension window opens?
Well, I mean, if he requests, we can either accept or we can say we're going to think about it, or we have not made a decision on it. I think you can make too much out of this. He's still got 2 years left on a contract. Theoretically, he's got a player opt. But that's something that we have to give some real thought to based on a lot of factors. I don't want to go through the litany of factors right now because they all blow up into different hypotheticals. But yeah, that's a big decision on our part to commit that kind of those kinds of resources, unless you have somebody who's really going to be there, you know, available every single night.
And again, commentary about his availability. 60 yep. games played this season. He did not appear in the playoffs. 64 games played last season. 57 games the year before that. And then as we continue to go back, the number's low, but that's because the seasons were shortened due to COVID. So Riley, in two separate instances when talking about Jimmy Butler, references, shall we say, his inability to be on the court as much as they would like. And again, turning 35 years old in September, with the Heat always thinking big picture. The Heat are never that organization saying we're pushing everything in right now to try to win and we'll deal with the fallout later. Right. They think 3, 5, and 10 years down the road, they are not going to jeopardize short-term for long-term. What do you think it means? Do you think he's back with the Heat next year?
I think he's back with the Heat next year, but I don't think he has a contract extension coming. I think that they'll have to prove that. And you mentioned his age. You're not going to get healthier, right? We all know that. You don't get healthier the older you get, right? I mean, so if you're not available for all the games that they need you available for this past year, what makes you think that, okay, he's going to be available next year and so on and so forth? So, yeah, the contract extension is going to have to be earned, not just given based off the name. And, again, there's a reason why Miami is who Miami is. Do they have all the championships that they'd like? No. But they have something they believe in, and I think you said it perfectly. They're not going to go all in on 1 year and sacrifice the big picture.
The thing I love about organizations like Miami, they remind me a lot of the Pittsburgh Steelers. That might be an easy comparison. Just the idea that they're so well run, they're good every year. I'm not going to say great. I'm not going to say terrible. They're just good. Right. Every year they're good with upside. That's how they're constructed. They're going to trot out a team that if you're a fan of them, you can be proud. Every year you can have the discussions rolling into the season about how deep could we go. Like, there's right. nothing worse for a fan base in any sport as the season's about to start having zero hope whatsoever. Like, right. if you're a Carolina Panthers fan, you're rolling in the week one this year, you don't have any hope that your team's going to do anything. You're hoping that maybe, just maybe, you're not a complete dumpster fire like you were last year. Can you take a step forward? Can Bryce Young show that he might be a guy you can build your franchise around? But if you're the Heat, if you're the Steelers, the Boston Bruins in hockey are an example. Mm-hmm. It's just like every single year, these teams are good. And you don't see fire sales and you don't see panic. You just see a well-run organization that trots a quality product out there every year. Some years they go deeper than others. Some years they come up short. But ultimately, you're never really embarrassed.
No. It's like the Baltimore Ravens in the draft.
Good example.
You know that they're going to be good. When you get a guy in the third round, you're going to be like, yeah, he's going to be a great player. Why? Because he's a Raven. Like, they just, it makes sense. They know what they're doing. Their front office is there. And the Miami Heat have the same thing. They have that same front office structure, and that's why I love what they do, right? They know who they are. They know what they need. And at times, I'm sure their off seasons get a little bit boring because they're not all about the fireworks every year.
Right.
Of course, when LeBron and Bosch sign, okay, that's different, right? I mean, that's fireworks. If Dame had signed this or they had traded for him, that would have been a big deal. But for the most part, it's not that super exciting offseason because they're just consistent.
Every single year consistent. Opposing general managers in the NFL should have a little game they play. This is what I would do. I would want all my scouts and all my people to submit like their grades on everybody. And as soon as the Ravens make a pick, right. any scout I have that didn't like that player, fired.
See ya.
You're just gone.
Yep.
I'm just that's how bankable Baltimore is with the draft, that if we have guys that don't like the players that the Ravens are selecting, I'm sorry. You got to go find work elsewhere. We need the Ravens blueprint now. Question then becomes, if there is a potential problem in Miami regarding the extension for Jimmy Butler that it seems like Pat Riley might not be willing to give him, who knows? 35 years old in September, does he end up somewhere else? Riley was asked during that press conference if he would consider trading Jimmy Butler. The answer was no. Kendrick Perkins joined Carlin versus Joe, this very show, on Friday, and we brought up the conversation about Jimmy Butler's future. Here's what Big Perk had to say.
Jimmy Butler is aging, right? He's probably, outside of Kevin Love, the second oldest guy on that team. If you're Pat Riley, is Jimmy really your guy that's going to lead you to a championship? And if so, can he do it with Tyler Hero and Bam? Like, they got a lot of question marks over there. I'm pretty sure Jimmy's going to be looking for a contract extension. Do you pay him that, or do you do him right by saying, you know what, let me see what we could get for Jimmy. So I'm also looking at Philly for Jimmy Butler.
All right, so here's what I want to do. There's plenty more to take from this, plenty more meat on the bone, as we would say in this industry. Plenty more meat on the bone. So I want to discuss what Riley said about Butler and then what it means for Butler's future and who could be the teams that would be interested in possibly trying to swing a deal to bring the veteran to town. There's one team that obviously comes to mind, but then the question becomes whether or not it's a little, too late, if that even makes any sense. I'm going to sort through it all. You all relax. We'll be back in a flash. He's Q Myers. I'm Joe Fornball. This is Carlin versus Joe on ESPN Radio.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Carlin versus Joe. Pizza money alert.
Pizza, pizza.
Game 2, Western Conference semifinals. The Nuggets hosting the Minnesota Timberwolves. Nuggets in an 0-1 hole. We're going to play the under in this game, 207.5. Game 1 went under by a mile. And the thing is, if you go under by a mile, you generally go into the box score, and it turns out one or both teams had an awful shooting night. And because they both had an awful shooting night, you would expect some positive regression in the shooting department, so then you get more scoring the next time out. Here's the thing. Minnesota had an incredible shooting night. They shot 52% from the floor. Both teams shot over 40% from deep. So both had very good shooting nights, and we still went under by like 15 points. So my thought is, if the books are going to send out roughly the same total this time around, I'll go ahead and I'll fire another bullet right into that one. So let's go under 207.5 between the Nuggets and the Timberwolves. All right. Carlin versus Joe. Alongside Q Myers, I'm Joe Fortenball. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Incredible sound coming out of Pat Riley, Miami Heat president, Pat Riley's press conference here at the end of the year. Asked about Jimmy Butler left and right, he did not mince words. Here is what Riley had to say about a potential extension for Butler when it comes due this summer.
When Jimmy approaches July 7th for an extension, what will the Miami Heat's response be at that date that his extension window opens?
Well, I mean, if he requests, we can either accept or we can say we're going to think about it or we have not made a decision on it. I think you can make too much out of this. He's still got 2 years left on a contract. Theoretically, he's got a player op. But that's something that we have to give some real thought to based on a lot of factors. I don't want to go through the litany of factors right now because they all blow up into different hypotheticals. But yeah, that's a big decision on our part to commit that kind of those kinds of resources unless you have somebody who's really going to be there, you know, available every single night.
That was not the only time during the press conference that Riley talked about Butler's, shall we say, lack of availability over the course of the season. and the playoffs. When asked whether or not the Heat would trade Jimmy Butler this summer, Riley did say no. So that happens on May 6th. Q, let's go down the rabbit hole where, okay, obviously Pat Riley, of course, is going to say no. If he says yes, he immediately compromises his negotiating position because everyone knows he's on the trade block. So he says no. Let's say that somehow, quote, he changes his mind, okay, and maybe he moves on. What are the potential landing destinations? Where would you want to see a soon-to-be 35-year-old Jimmy Butler?
Man, that's a great question. It really is. I mean, I think the easy one, you could look at Philadelphia and say the 76ers makes a lot of sense. You're always going to tie any star to L.A. You're always going to tie someone to New York with the Knicks. I think there's a bunch of different locations. I'll say one. I think that there could be a way he ends up in Golden State.
Oh!
I mean, if you want to throw one out there that we might not be talking about, he could probably end up in Golden State and be a guy that helps contribute and score some points.
That's interesting. That's very interesting. Because you got to figure, if you're viewing Butler at 35 years old, you're really not looking at him as this is a guy who's going to compete at a high level for the next 5 years.
Right.
A good fit may be hey, we need to win now and we need someone to put us over the top.
Right.
That's why so many link him to Philadelphia. That and the fact that a few years ago, he was sensational in Philadelphia. We loved him in Philadelphia. I say that we because I'm a Philadelphia fan and I was a huge fan of Jimmy Butler there. The fact that they went with Tobias Harris and Ben Simmons over Jimmy Butler is something everyone regrets. Do they regret that to the point where now they see a second opportunity and they make the mistake of saying, look, we got to correct that previous wrong. Let's bring him in now, even though, you know, 35 years old.
To me, that wouldn't even make sense, even though I know that he's going to be tied there until he's not. But with Embiid and his availability or lack thereof every single year, and Butler with his availability or lack thereof every single year, that probably will not be what they need right now. A couple of seasons ago, when they made the decision to not go with Jimmy Butler, that would have been when they needed him the most.
So let's drill down on Golden State a little bit. Do you even think that that's possible, given all the machinations, want to make sure I get that one right for Carlin. Thank you, Carlin, for wising me up as to how that was pronounced. Machinations. Would that even work in Golden State? Do you even think they could get him in? That would be a fascinating place to see him, the fact that we know Golden State has this last gasp effort,
right,
where they're going to try to win a title in the Steph Curry era.
Exactly. I think that they're going to try to do everything they can to make it Steph Curry friendly, where they can have an opportunity to win a title. I'm not saying that they're going to. As a Warrior fan, I'm not going to say that they're going to. I'll say that that window is probably closed, but we hear conversations about Klay being, you know, a possible Orlando Magic when it's all said and done. So you need somebody who can get some buckets. And the one thing that we all know about Jimmy is he can go get buckets. He has that grit. Him and Draymond in the locker room together might be something interesting.
No problems there. You can just go right over that. You have to figure, though, there's going to be pieces coming back in a trade, and Miami's not going to sit there and just take some sort of salary dump in exchange.
Right.
They're going to want to find a way to maximize what they could do.
Young dude. They get a young dude.
Young dudes, guys they can build. I mean, Jonathan Kuminga came on very strong at the end of the season, but I don't know if that's a piece Golden State's willing to part with. At the same time, how much flexibility does Golden State have, given that there's not a whole lot out there that they could possibly offer?
It's got to be a team that, again, like you mentioned, is built to win.
Right now.
Yeah, a team's not going to make a move and say, hey, we're going to build around this guy. Because you're not Bob the Builder. You're not that guy anymore, right? I mean, he's a guy that's going to go in there, and he's almost a hired gun at this stage of the game as far as I'm concerned. That's why I don't think he leaves Miami.
Kendrick Perkins joined us on Friday, and we were talking about this very situation with Jimmy Butler in terms of what Jimmy Butler's offseason could look like. Take a listen to Big Perk.
Jimmy Butler is aging, right? He's probably, outside of Kevin Love, the second oldest guy on that team. If you're Pat Riley, is Jimmy really your guy that's going to lead you to a championship? And if so, can he do it with Tyler Hero and Bam? Like, they got a lot of question marks over there. I'm pretty sure Jimmy's going to be looking for a contract extension. Do you pay him that, or do you do him right by saying, you know what, let me see what we could get for Jimmy? So I'm also looking at Philly for Jimmy Butler.
Very interesting. Quick aside here. Very interesting that he mentions Tyler Hero, because Pat Riley at today's presser, which is going to be the news everywhere you look, Pat Riley was also asked about Tyler Hero, and he had this to say.
He's been fragile a little bit and broke his hand last year in the playoffs. You know, he had some injuries, you know, earlier in his career, and there isn't anybody who works you know, harder at his game. And Spo's correct. He works and puts the time in. He put the time in the weight room. So, you know, how does he keep his calorie intake? And he might have to go to another level nutritionally. He's gotten stronger, but, you know, as the season progresses, you know, you lose some of that. You don't pound the iron like you do, you know, in the off season. But he's got to make some adjustments, definitely, you know.
This is one of the best pressers of the postseason.
Yes. I'm pumping my fist. I'm so excited.
Oh, my God. He's talking about calorie intake. He's probably right. He's not getting enough calories. He's not pumping the iron.
We need to bring in Schwarzenegger. There's no probably about it. He's spot on, right? He's calling the guys out that aren't available. I love it. And, again, that's why the Miami Heat are the Heat, and they're not the Lakers, and they're not the Cavaliers. They are a team that one guy is not above the team, and if he has to call a guy out, he will. And Pat Riley's got the stones and the skins on the wall to be able to do that.
Yeah, the gravitas you have to speak about the players in your organization like this. And by the way, this isn't all that egregious. When he's addressing Butler, he's talking about, you know, if you're not on the court in the series, you should probably keep your mouth shut. Mm-hmm. Then he talks about Butler's availability, and they haven't really had him. And if you're going to talk about an extension, well, there's possibly 2 years left. You know, we'd have to think long and hard and weigh the variables. You bring up Hero. He's been fragile. Like, all these things are truthful. You kind of love the idea of leadership being able to speak like this while being honest. And also, to be fair to Riley, he's very complimentary of both players throughout the course of the press conference. It's just these quotes that we're globbing onto because they're very interesting quotes. We don't see this in the NBA today because so many GMs and coaches understand that the player has more influence than they do. And if they say the wrong thing and upset the player's going to try to get him fired, and that's going to be the end of their career. So they got to worry about self-preservation. Thankfully for Riley and Spoelstra in Miami, they have the job security where they don't have to worry about that sort of thing. So they can make decisions accordingly. And that works very well for Howie Roseman in Philadelphia. Howie's not afraid to take a swing and possibly miss because he knows he's not going anywhere. He knows that he swings and hits enough that you want to keep a guy like that in the building.
Exactly right. And that's where these teams and organizations really need to get back to. But they've got to earn that, right? And Pat Riley, to his credit, has earned that. And Eric Spoelstra, to his credit, has earned that. And that's why superstar after superstar after superstar could go through the organization. And when they leave, they're not going to sweat. They're not going to, you know, sit there and write them a love letter and ask them to come back or play them some love jams late at night and say, baby, come back. You know, they're not going to do that. They're going to keep it pushing because that's what they do.
All right. So that's what's going on with the teams that have been eliminated from the playoffs, as well as other teams that have been eliminated from the playoffs, and how they might try to get better through a conversation with Miami about whether or not Jimmy Butler is available this offseason. Now we turn our attention to the teams that are still alive. And after an incredible performance from the Ant-Man, Anthony Edwards, in game one against Denver, he's now being compared, not on this show, other people have compared him to Kobe Bryant, Michael Jordan, and LeBron James. Is it too much too soon? That is something this show will discuss next. He's Q Myers. I'm Joe Fornball. Carlin versus Joe on ESPN Radio.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Minnesota. Minnesota comes into Denver with a mile-high win to steal home court and a 106-99 victory over the defending champion Nuggets.
But it's the team mentality. We come in and you know we know it's going to be a war.
Spins baseline, jumpers up, and in! Working the clock, working the Nuggets! 39 for Anthony Edwards.
We're just coming out to play.
Mess around and find out. That's what happened to the Denver Nuggets in game one of the Western Conference semifinal matchup. They're currently embroiled in with the Minnesota Timberwolves, who came out swinging. T-Wolves up 1-0 in the series. They are now the favorites to win said series. He's Q Myers. I'm Joe Fornball. This is Carlin versus Joe on ESPN Radio. Everyone in Minnesota deserves credit for the victory, but it's obviously going to start with Anthony Edwards, the Ant-Man. 43 points to help Minnesota take game one. He was on fire in the first half of this game. He joined Kobe Bryant, some of you may have heard of him, in 2001 as the only players with consecutive 40-point games at age 22 or younger in the NBA postseason. There are stats like this for days. I'll give you one more. Over his last three games, Edwards has put up 119 points. That is the most over a three-game span in Timberwolves postseason history and the most over a three-game span by a player age 22 or younger since LeBron James in 2006. So when you mention Anthony Edwards, it's now synonymous with scoring. It's synonymous with winning. It's synonymous with winning in the postseason. And it's becoming synonymous with Kobe Bryant, Michael Jordan, LeBron James. These names all keep popping up. Q Myers joining me here on Carlin versus Joe ESPN Radio today. Thank you very much. Too much too soon?
No. And I'll tell you why it's not too much too soon. And I don't like to just clump anybody in with those greats that you just mentioned. But not a lot of people outside of the NBA diehards knows who Anthony Edwards is. Not a lot of people knew that Anthony Edwards was the number one overall pick. Not a lot of people know that Anthony Edwards went to Georgia. He didn't get shown in the March Madness tournament because there wasn't one. So, and then, oh, by the way, he was drafted by Minnesota. No disrespect to Minnesota, but they're not on ESPN every night. They're not on national TV every Saturday. They're not the ones that we're tuning in to see all the time. Again, no disrespect to Karl Anthony Towns. So now you're hearing these conversations. Hey, there's this young man named Anthony Edwards. He's only 22. He's putting up numbers like Kobe. He's putting up numbers like MJ. He's putting up numbers by insert fantastic player like LeBron James. And you know what you're going to do if you're just a casual? Well, let me check him out. I like MJ. I like Kobe. I like LeBron. What's this Ant-Man? Who is this guy? Is this a superhero? Is this a basketball player? No, he's both. He's both.
Anthony Edwards is getting it done, brought to you by Grainger. Evan Cohen from The Morning Show, host of Unsportsmanlike, takes a little bit of a different approach. Cohen tends to be a little bit more cautiously optimistic. Had this to say regarding the Anthony Edwards hype.
He hasn't won anything. Can we just relax a little bit before we start comparing to Michael Jordan, please? Can we stop? Michael Jordan's greatness is because he's invincible in the biggest of moments, 6-0 in the finals. No matter what the circumstances, you believe he can win. Anthony Edwards is a phenomenal player. It is not even going out on a limb to say he's on a Hall of Fame path right now. It's not going out on a limb to say he's on a championship path. But there's a chance he doesn't even get out of the second round. And I know they're facing the Denver Nuggets, who are the defending champs, and awesome. I get all of that. There has to be some level of caveat of if he accomplishes this or when he accomplishes it, but he hasn't done it yet.
Yeah, I got news for him. Put an egg in your shoe and beat it. I don't want to hear that right now.
No!
It's too much fun. It's too much fun. No. It's full steam ahead on this conversation.
Not even that, Joe. MJ didn't come out the womb 6-0 in the finals. I mean, let's keep it a buck, man. I mean, he had to earn it too. I had MJ posters on my wall when he wasn't winning squat, but he was still fantastic.
See, the thing with this, Evan makes a very good point. It's very measured because we are talking about a guy who won one game in the second round of a playoffs for a franchise that never wins anything. So I understand the idea of being a little bit cautiously optimistic because he is optimistic. I get that because we're starting to throw him into categories with all-time greats. But we can't sit here and have all the conversations that we have about guys who don't show up in the big spot. Looking at you, Joel Embiid, even though it was a pretty strong series, and I understand you gutted it out, but we so often find ourselves in conversations about the teams who don't get it done. The Baltimore Ravens in the NFL, right. Lamar Jackson in the postseason, the Sixers and Joel Embiid, LeBron James coming up short, Steph Curry coming up short, Kevin Durant coming up short. The counter to that is that when you have something special like this, you got to get excited.
Embrace
it. You have to get excited. He's not beating Dallas or Oklahoma City. No disrespect to those teams. It's the defending champs. He walked into their building in game one. He dropped 43. He showed the moment wasn't too big for him. Let's get excited. Let's get excited and let him just cook. Let him cook. Let's buy this stock now rather than trying to buy this stock in 5 years when we're going to look like idiots. You going to go buy Apple stock today? I heard that's a company that's on the rise.
Right. They have this phone that you might go and get replaced every couple years. No, but that's the thing. That's the thing. LeBron James came out, and he was already the chosen one before he ever had a bucket. He had a $100 million Nike deal when he came into the league. Kobe was the guy that we had high expectations for, and he couldn't even get a bucket early on, right? They were like, hey, sit that young man down. He became that guy. So, yeah, I don't mind coming back a couple years from now and saying, you know what? Anthony Edwards didn't turn out to be as great as I thought he was. But guess what? He was really fun to watch. When he jumped out the freaking gym and when he went and blocked somebody and when he guarded someone baseline to baseline and when he took that team, the Minnesota Timberwolves, to a place where I wanted to watch a team that I never would want to watch, then that's something. He is doing what Zion did for Duke. I'm not a Duke fan, but while Zion was there, guess who was watching?
Yeah.
This guy.
I'm with you. I was this exact same way. And to be honest, and to everyone listening who thinks we're getting out over our skis here, we kind of have an obligation to do this. We really do. He was the number one overall pick coming out of Georgia.
And nobody knows that.
We did not hype his career in college at all because it was at Georgia. And we didn't see him in the dance because of COVID knocking the dance out of the equation. So we never got the big postseason moments. So he doesn't play for a blue blood. He doesn't end up doing anything in the dance because he can't. I'm not up to date on AAU rankings and these kids coming up as 15 and 16-year-olds, so he probably was highly touted, but I have no idea. So all that happens. Then he goes to Minnesota, who hasn't had a lick of success since Kevin Garnett decades ago.
Right.
And now they're winning. He's scoring. He's got a great personality. He's fun to watch, and he's got the defending champs already on the ropes down 0-1 at home. Like, yeah, we have an obligation to hype this guy up. He's giving us gold.
I mean, he's given us gold, but, I mean, again, it's all deserved. It's not like we're just creating somebody out of nowhere, right? I mean, look, the guy, we get conversations all weekend long. I was talking about how he's little MJ and how he walks like MJ and how he chews gum like MJ and how he talks trash. He might even look a little like MJ. Gameplay and even just looks. So, yeah, I'm good. I'm not saying he's going to be that guy, but I'm saying if you get an opportunity to watch them play, and watch out for the Ant-Man. You won't be disappointed.
If my memory serves me correctly, how many teams went into Denver last year and notched a win during the postseason? I think, did Miami steal? I think Miami grabbed game two in the finals, and then Denver just rolled them the next three games out and won 4-1. But I'm pretty sure Phoenix did not go into Denver and get a win.
No.
I don't. Did anyone else? Is anyone looking this up right now? This is what I'm hoping for. You guys are doing a great job back there, by the way. I do appreciate that because a lot of times I'll start talking and you're just hoping someone's doing the work for you. And then you do what I'm doing right now, filibustering, saying a lot of words. Now the audience is starting to catch on to the fact that I'm just wasting time to get this information. And then we get to it. And then what? Thank you. Were you on air? Could they hear you for that?
No.
Jump on with it. Miami was the only team. So think about this. Last year, and again, now I got to ask this. Who'd they play in the opening round? Like, what are all the breakdowns? They had Minnesota in the opening round. They had Phoenix in the second round. They had the Lakers in the conference finals, and then Miami. So LeBron James, 2 years in a row, couldn't go to Denver and get a win. 2 years in a row, could not go to Denver and get a win in the postseason. Jimmy Butler and the Heat got one. Durant and Booker couldn't get one last year. And then this Minnesota team took one off them, but it was back at home.
Right.
And this kid goes in and drops 43 in game one and wins that game against Denver. We got to get excited. I'm sorry, Cohen. That's on you. He's got
to
take the L here.
Not to mention, NBA fans are probably getting excited that are just now learning who he is. Not only that, they could pull for Minnesota if they don't have a dog in the hunt. Like, again, I'm a Warrior fan.
Is that your team now that the Warriors are out?
Yeah, absolutely. Why not?
Well,
Team Ant-Man, let's go.
I'm going back and forth because I really like them. I also think Oklahoma City has not benefited from the time slot. They're getting the worst time slots with these series, and as a result, no one's seeing them kick ass. Like, they kicked New Orleans' ass in that series. No one saw it. Well, I mean, plenty of people saw it. I didn't. It's like at some point I gotta draw the line.
But the Pelicans weren't the team also that everyone thought was going to go all the way, especially with no Zion.
Yeah, Zion hurt. Ingram didn't show up. CJ McCollum couldn't buy a bucket. That team's right. They got some work to do this offseason. Getting it done brought to you by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Pat Riley did not hold back in his criticism of Jimmy Butler in a press conference earlier today. You got to hear that next. Carlin versus Joe with Q Myers here on ESPN Radio.
Barbasol Shaving Cream, America's leader for a close, comfortable shave. Better by Barbasol.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
This is Joe. There we go, ladies and gentlemen, here on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance alongside Q Myers. I'm Joe Fortenbaugh. All right, we're there. We're there. Big news out of Miami today. Press conference. President of basketball operations, Pat Riley, did not mince words about the state of the organization. Jimmy Butler, Tyler Hero. Not like it was anything controversial. Riley was just being forthright, which is exactly what we want to hear when we get these press conferences. Instead of mincing words and giving us very little to work with, Riley was open and honest with the organization. Let's start with part of what he was addressing. Jimmy Butler, fantastic audio in regards to what would have happened for the Miami Heat had he been healthy in that series against the Celtics.
If I was playing, Boston would be at home. New York, damn sure would be at home. Josh Hart. That mean to me? Josh Hart.
Yo.
Come on, man. Nah. I love Tibbs, but I don't want Tibbs. I love Tibbs. I love you, baby. I want to beat you to a pulp. You want me, I don't want you. It's like a one-sided relationship. You in love with me, and I love you, but I'm not in love with you. You know what I'm saying?
All right, that's Butler laying out what would have happened if the Heat were healthy and had an opportunity to play Boston and New York that way. They would have beaten them both. Okay. To which Pat Riley was asked about today at his press conference. Take a listen to his response.
You know, for him to say that, is that Jimmy trolling or is that Jimmy serious? If you're not on the court playing against Boston or on the court playing against the New York Knicks, you should keep your mouth shut in your criticism of those teams.
Q Myers, your thoughts?
Agree 100%, right? I mean, hearing Jimmy say that, it's just, again, I think there's a level of trolling to this.
Yeah.
But even to start the whole sentence, if I was playing, guess what? You weren't. You weren't playing, so ifs and buts, and we know how the rest of that saying goes.
Yeah.
You can't go out on a limb and say, we'd send them home. We sure damn sure would have sent them home, but you didn't because you weren't available. So Pat Riley did what good organizations should do, and only Miami has figured out how to do it, is say, hey, man, if you ain't out there playing, you shouldn't be out there talking.
This does come on the heels of quite a bit of talk from Butler this year as the Heat were struggling midway through the season. And then as we got to the three-quarter mark, he kept talking about how, you know, this is when we turn it on. This is when the Heat get ready to play. This is where we elevate our game. I'm paraphrasing, of course, but it never came. never came. They won some games down the stretch, but they just could not put it together. And ultimately, when history remembers this season, it's going to remember it as a 4-1 playoff exit in the opening round of the postseason of the Boston Celtics, in which you were absolutely blown out in your four losses. You did have one win. You shot very well, and you stole a game from Boston in Boston. You deserve credit for that. But the other four, you were nowhere to be found in that matchup. Jaime Jaquez got hurt. Tyler Hero might not have been 100%. Jimmy Butler was out. They were just outmanned and outgunned from the beginning. So here's Riley talking about the future of Jimmy Butler, and now we're all sitting here dissecting what's going to happen for the Heat. If he's not back and he's traded, ultimately, you probably feel like Miami's going to make some sort of move and then a series of corresponding moves that'll have this team ready to compete at some level next year, right? Like, the Heat aren't a team we're going to erase from the competition committee.
No, not at all, because, again, they have that dude. They have that Pat Riley. They have Eric Spoelstra. They also are an organization that players want to go there and play, right? And we saw all summer how Dame wanted to be there. He ultimately ends up in Milwaukee, however that shook out. But he wanted to be in South Beach. They have something built there that, one, players believe in. Being in South Beach doesn't hurt either, right? I mean, that's a great place to a location to be. But they have a structure, man. They could bring in stars, and they not get starstruck by them, right? I mean, I guess my perfect example is look what the New York Jets did once Aaron Rodgers came in. They got starstruck by him.
Yeah.
Pat Riley ain't going to get starstruck by you.
It's always fascinating to me that the Heat can find a way to bring talent in and they can win. And the other teams in Miami seem to fall victim to the whole South Beach thing.
Right.
Like, the players down there end up having too much fun. They buy too into the nightlife. They're not committed enough. It almost, if I'm not mistaken, I think Vic Fangio may have had some commentary on his way out the door from Miami about players not being overly committed. I don't know. I got to dig something like that up. But it always feels like the teams down there struggle to compete, and part of the reason is that there are a lot of distractions. I mean, You're young. You're in great shape. You got a ton of money. And you got access to South Beach, which has got to be one of the best places in the world to be young and have a ton of money, right?
Exactly.
So you see that issue happening there, but the Heat have always found a way to rise above that. In fact, the Heat are the team that benefits from the South Beach flu, right?
Yep.
Other teams are so excited to have their road trips into Miami that they're hitting the nightlife, and then they don't show up to play Miami the next day, and boom, you benefit from a great home court advantage.
I know it sounds silly, but it's literally the culture that they've created. They've built themselves to be able to withstand that and hold down and realize what time it is, what the assignment is, where other teams go into South Beach and the assignment is, hey, we're in South Beach, let's have a great time, right? I mean, I can't tell you when we were there for the Super Bowl, right? I mean, it was, you would see the media members that enjoyed South Beach more than they enjoyed being on Radio Row. And you know who they are.
Yep.
And I would normally would say that I'm probably one of them, but I just wasn't that year. But I mean, it's just, that's what the nature of the beast is.
What do you think ultimately ends up happening with Butler? He's going to be 35 in September. He's going to want that extension this summer. He'll obviously ask for it because that's the move in today's NBA.
For sure.
Get the extension from the team you're currently with, then force the trade, and then you and the contract you want travel with you. Do you think he's ultimately back with Miami, or do you think they've realized he's going to be 35 in September? We should try to figure out the next era of Heat basketball.
I think that they're looking for the next era, but I do think he's got one more year in him. And I think that it makes sense to go back and be in South Beach at least one more year. And again, he has that opportunity to ask for that contract extension, but I think Miami's going to make him earn it, right? I really do. I believe that they're going to say, hey, Jimmy, this is what we're going to do. This is how we're going to build this team this year, and we need you to be a part of this, but you're not going to be the focal point.
Here's what would make me nervous. If I'm on the other end of the phone with Pat Riley and he's interested in trading Jimmy Butler to me, do I still want Jimmy Butler?
Right.
It's like the Patriots, right? Right. It's exactly like the Patriots, right? Or anytime Kansas City calls Buffalo for a trade in the draft, and Buffalo's always so willing to do the deal. And it's like, Buffalo, stop picking up the phone when they call. Mm-hmm. The first time they called, it was Patrick Mahomes. Now they're calling you about this wide receiver. Stop helping them out. You seem to run into them in the playoffs every year, and it seems to lead to an issue. But there are certain teams, like if the general manager of the Tampa Bay Rays is calling, you don't pick that call up. You're not dealing with it. They understand player valuations far better than you do. If Pat Riley is calling you about something, you probably shouldn't be engaging with him on the phone. These are just rules of thumb. Yep. Like, I would probably show up on day one of my imaginary, magical GM job, and there'd be guys just right off the top to block all these numbers. I don't want any of these guys getting through. There's no way I'm going to outwit Pat Riley in a deal for NBA talent. The guy knows a couple things about basketball.
And that's both ways. That's not just he's trying to deal a guy. If he's trying to pick up a player from you, right? If he calls and says, hey, I got interest in this player, you're like, wait, hold on. What did I not see?
Yeah, no. I'm giving that guy the max.
Right.
He is not eligible. No, Riley likes him. I'm giving him the max.
Exactly.
Oh, man. All right, that's going to lead to a lot of good stuff. Let's talk tonight. We've got game two between the Nuggets and the Timberwolves. Denver's laying 5.5. Do they bounce back? Yes, no. What do you do with the spread? You're in Vegas. We're going to need to talk a little action here.
I think, honestly, I think Denver bounces back. I don't see them going down 0-2 at home. I just don't see it. Everyone's trying to bury them and say Minnesota's going to be in the finals, this, that, and the other. Look, they have to earn their way there, and Denver's going to make you earn it. I think they'll have a better night. They'll start off the night better. They won't have to try to come back from behind. It was easy and convenient to hang around when it was the Lakers because somehow the Lakers fold and they let you go back and win. They're going to have to get off to a hot start, and I think they will.
Knicks laying 5.5 against the Pacers, game one of their Eastern Conference semifinal matchup. How are you approaching that one?
Oh, man, this one's a tough one for me. I'm going to go ahead and rock with the Knicks on this one. I'm going to say that, they'll cover that spread and they'll get it done. But, the minute I bet on them is the minute that they lose.
That game's fascinating. I could see that going either way. Yes. I could see Indiana getting red hot and catching the Knicks. I wonder how much gas is in the tank for New York right now. They got a few days off, so you'd imagine they're going to be relatively fresh, but that was an absolute war with Philadelphia.
What do you get from Halliburton?
Quick turnaround. Yeah, Halliburton's back injury is holding him back, man.
Yep.
And look at his home road splits this postseason. He's been much more effective at home than on the road. He is on the road tonight. All right, fantastic work. I look forward to working with you tomorrow as the big man's out this week. He's Q Myers. I'm Joe Fortenbaugh. Freddie and Harry are coming up next. Stay locked in. We'll catch you later.
Thanks for listening to the Carlin vs. Joe podcast on ESPN Radio. You can listen to Carlin vs. Joe weekdays from noon to 3 Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on Sirius XM Channel 80. You can also watch and listen on the ESPN app. The Carlin vs. Joe podcast.